Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It is the 27th day of March 2015. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Azuzalo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear Daryl Good's view of the grain stocks report as it relates to soybeans. That report due out, by the way, March the 31st. That's next Tuesday. And it was the original end of the sign-up period for the Farm Bill programs. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture today, Tom Vilsack, extended that period by 1 week until the 7th of April. More on that as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. Futures finished in the May corn pit at $3.91. That was down a quarter cent. July at $3.99, a quarter lower. And September at $4.06.5, down a quarter of a cent. December contract unchanged today at $4.14.75. And March corn unchanged at $4.23.75. Soy complex bean futures, May contract $9.67, down 7.25. July at $9.72.25, 6.5 lower. The August at $9.71.25, down 6.5 cents. In September, soybeans $9.56.75, down 6. November contract $9.48.75, 6.5 lower. May bean meal futures at $3.21.40, down a dollar for the day. The bean oil at $30.60, down 57 cents. Chicago wheat at $5.07.75, and the lead option up 8.5. July at $5.12, and the harvest month 7.25 higher. May futures in the Kansas City at $5.53, up a dime. July contract at $5.57.75, 9 cents higher for the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby at $162.40. That's the April contract, up 72.5 cents on this day. And the June for a Friday at $152.65, or 65 cents higher. Feeder cattle in Chicago at $218.77.5, $1.55 higher. March up $1.92.5 at $217.70. And the lean hogs finished the afternoon in the April 30 higher at $61.27.5. The May up a dime at $68.12.5 for 100 pounds. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Checking the outside markets now at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $48.45, down $2.98. That in the May contract. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.72.3, down 6.3 of a cent. Gasoline on wholesale price, the RBOB, $1.79.3 a gallon. That's down 8.8 of a cent. Natural gas down 7.75 at $2.59.6. That's actually 7.6 of a cent lower. And the ethanol futures for the day at $1.49.1. Their settlement price was down 0.1 cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at about 17,596, down 7 points. The gold futures at $1,200 even are down $4.75, and the U.S. dollar index at 97.52 is down 0.162 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of just 37 degrees. North winds at about 15 miles an hour, and it kind of looks like we've already topped out for the day and are headed down. Tonight we'll go to a low of 18 on a north wind at 5 to 9. It'll turn to calm winds after midnight, and Saturday we'll go to a high of 38 degrees under sunny skies. Northeast winds at 5, becoming calm in the afternoon. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 25. Sunday, rain likely. That'll come after 1 in the afternoon. Central time, increasing clouds. A high near 49, breezy with a south wind at 14 to 21, gusting to as high as 36. The chance of rainfall on Sunday, 60% in the area. Sunday night, a 30% chance of rain before 1 in the morning. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on their upcoming auction of 201 acres in Douglas County, Illinois, is at murraywiseassociates.com or at 217-398-6400.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Friday afternoon. We always check in with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, traveling towards the great state of Illinois this afternoon. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule today. We do appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for letting me do it on the road, Todd. It helps a lot to go see the grandmas.
I'm sure the kids will love that. Hey, just one quick note. As soon as we're done with this program, you and Roy Huckabee and Ellen Dearden and Dan Zwicker all will be on the air with us and are already up on the website for Commodity Week. And I have to tell you, Mike, that I've done shows over the years for a long time for Commodity Week, starting back in 1989, on and off, 2003 on, most of them. Almost nearly all of them, and it was an extraordinary conversation. I really did appreciate the conversation, the discussion about the marketplace and how it's really changed over the 5 years, over this past 5 years, not because of ethanol, but because of electronic trading. It was really something to listen to. I know our listeners will hear a part of it today on the air, but I think, Mike, they probably ought to go online and take a listen to it, too. How about you?
Oh, I think so, too, and I think, Todd, you typically will pull this stuff out of us as guests, and that's where you really deserve most of the credit for it. But I will say that I've already talked to clients today, and they said there is a distinct two-party separation of opinion that you really did get so much out of the interview because the distinction between the two opinions were so clear, and both arguments were so well put out that it was almost like a courtroom situation where you could decide for yourself as the listener where you sit, and I really think it'll help you in your marketing plan and how you trade the markets as well.
Yeah, and that was on a couple of fronts. There was a difference of opinion on corn and where it's headed. That was easy to spot, and there was a difference of opinion on the marketplace and how electronic trade has changed it. So people should just go and listen.
Let's just tease them and not talk about it. We'll put the tease out, and they got to decide for themselves to listen and get on there themselves. Right?
I think that's what we should do. So I need to follow up with you on one thing. Of course, we record now on Thursday afternoons, and the one item I was a little concerned about yesterday was the drop in the wheat market and how much of a problem that would create for Commodity Week. As it turns out, none. And I knew that at the end of Commodity Week last night because it just wasn't going to matter with that particular show. But it appears that not only did it not only create a problem with Commodity Week, but wheat didn't do a whole lot of follow through during today's trade either. What happened with it?
No, it's really limping into the acreage and stocks report. And, you know, we really need the wheat and the currency markets on our side at this stage of the game heading into the acreage and stocks report, because right after the acreage and stocks report comes planting. And unless we have weather problems, you've got a seasonal weakness that tends to present itself without a supportive report from USDA. And so the Federal Reserve and the USDA are the two major government agencies directing and driving the commodity prices right now, and that includes corn and beans and wheat. And wheat got some dignity back today by the spring wheat jumping and covering some shorts on this very cold weekend coming into the northern plains. But we still closed below the 10-week moving average in the soft red wheat lead month futures, and that's around 516. We really need to gain that back, I think, to get the investment confidence back that the wheat low is indeed in place.
Okay, one other item that is top of the list for the day. USDA just released the hogs and pigs report. Shows inventory was up 7%. With all hogs and pigs on March 1st at 65.9 million head. That's a pretty good sized number, I would think.
It is, and thankfully it was in the middle of the trading range. 108.5 was the top end, 105 was the low end, and even better than that was the kept for breeding number. Better for the hog producer, I should say. Not as good for the corn supplier or the corn feeder, but 102 on kept for breeding was below the lowest trade guess by 0.4%. And the kept for marketings came in at 108%, on the top end of the range, and that was very healthy from a standpoint that it mixes and offsets some of this negative demand bias that the trade has been hearing about and seeing in terms of packer bids and some of the export market that we've seen. I really found it surprising that the beast of Feb farrowings were at 102, also below the trade estimates, and the March to May farrowings were at 102, below the lowest trade guess. So I would classify the Hogs and Pigs report very supportive for the deferred hog market going into next week's trade, and that's the one that got pounded the most to the downside this week.
Is it also supportive because of the number of pigs that are kept for marketing to the corn and soybean complexes?
Yeah, I think so, because your 180 pounds and over were at 109%, and your under 50 pounds were also at 109%. So I'd call it no worse than neutral when it comes to the corn and the meal markets.
Okay, a quick view of the acreage numbers that are coming out on Tuesday in the grain stocks report. What do you think?
I continue to see today the trade will follow the same pattern it has the past couple weeks, buying the Dease corn, selling the Nove beans. I think between that and the uncertainty about corn planting weather and new crop corn, we've got more of a premium in Dease corn, less of a premium in Nove beans, and that would suggest to me you need to feed the bull when it comes to the corn market. You need to feed the bear when it comes to the bean market.
Hey, by the way, I'm glad that WILL, Will Ag, can bracket your weekend trip back. I take it you're headed to Indiana and Ohio to see the grandparents because you're on the road now. You're with us, and you'll be on the way back, and you'll drop into Sherman, Illinois on Tuesday night next week, right?
That's always such a great group. I encourage everybody to come out because, you know, we're going to do a presentation. You're going to do a presentation. Jackie will do a presentation. I'll do a presentation. They're going to serve dinner there. You can't get any better than that.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much, Mike. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzlo. Safe travels too, Mike. That's Zuzlo. He is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Actually, just crossing the border, I think, as he heads from Missouri into Illinois near Hannibal as we talk to him. Probably made it a few miles, I would guess, while we were having our conversation. And he'll be back with us on Tuesday evening, as we mentioned, in Sherman, Illinois, for another one of our Will Ag panels. That one, registration starts at 5:30 at the Farm Credit Illinois building. It's right next to the Rail Golf Course, really easy to find. And we'll have a dinner at 6 o'clock, and then at 6:30, I'll take the stage and go through the numbers that were reported out by USDA in the morning. Those would be the acreage figures and the grain stocks figures. And then Jackie and Mike will both make a presentation, then we'll let you ask some questions of them. It's a really neat evening. If you want to come, it's open. Just make sure you come by around 5:30. Get yourself registered there at the Farm Credit Illinois building in Sherman. Now, here's Dave Dickey. He has today's Ag News.
Federal aviation officials announced that they are streamlining rules to expedite permits to fly small commercial unmanned aircraft. FAA officials had been cautious, saying tight restrictions are necessary to prevent collisions between drones and manned aircraft. Under these streamlined rules, the FAA will grant blanket flying permission to applicants whose drones weigh less than 55 pounds and who agree to keep flights under 200 feet, to fly only in the daytime, and to keep away from airports. The White House is announcing a 5-year plan to fight the threat posed by antibiotic-resistant germs. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that drug-resistant bacteria causes 23,000 deaths and 2 million illnesses each year in the U.S. Antibiotic resistance also threatens animal health, agriculture, and the economy. The White House goal is to prevent and contain outbreaks of infections at home and abroad. The China Bureau of Statistics says sorghum imports surged to more than 4.2 million metric tons in 2013-14 from less than 1 million metric ton the year prior. Another statistics service, the China National Grain and Oil Information Center, expects 14-15 imports to hit 6.4 million metric tons, and companies have already purchased sorghum for 15-16 delivery. Most of the importing companies are located in South China. Monsanto Company has agreed to pay $600,000 in fines for not reporting hundreds of uncontrolled releases of toxic chemicals at its Eastern Idaho phosphate plant, the Soda Springs facility. The releases occurred between 2006 and 2009, with the plant emitting hydrogen cyanide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and mercury. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. One other ag news note for the day. The United States Department of Agriculture has extended the Farm Bill sign-up period. That again, a month ago, of course, USDA opted to allow the two Farm Bill deadlines to be consolidated into just one ending date. It was scheduled to close next Tuesday, March the 31st. That sign-up period has been extended a full week, says U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. The deadline is now Tuesday, April 7th. The secretary reports 98% of farm landowners have updated information needed to calculate payments under the new farm programs, but only 90% of the farms are enrolled. By the way, those farms not enrolled by the deadline will receive no 2014 crop year payments, and the farm will default to the price loss coverage or PLC enrollment option, that for the duration of the farm bill. Sign-up can be completed at local farm service agency offices. Speaking of next Tuesday, I'll be in Sherman, Illinois. That's just to the north of Springfield at the Farm Credit Illinois building on Tuesday night. At 5:30, we'll open the doors with a dinner at 6, and at 6:30, Jackie Vakes, Mike Zuzulo, and I will take the stage for another one of our Will Ag marketing panels. We hope you can come. Please do visit with us at the Farm Credit Illinois building. That's in Sherman, Illinois, 1200 Old Tipton School Road. It's right off Peoria Road, old Route 66 going to Springfield, headed in towards the Illinois State Fairgrounds, if you happen to know where that is. Really close to the rail golf course, too. So hopefully all those items will help guide you to the Farm Credit Illinois building in Sherman. Next Tuesday evening for one of our Will Ag marketing panels, registration opens at 5:30, 6 o'clock is the dinner. You're certainly welcome to come, drop on by, and I'd love to see you along with Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzulo. You know, March the 31st, traders and farmers are likely to pay a great deal more attention to the number of soybean acres USDA expects will be planted this season than the number of soybean bushels left in the United States. However, the stocks figure may still hold some surprises. Last December, the United States Department of Agriculture reported a surprisingly low grain stocks number for soybeans. The agency counts available bushels of most crops once a quarter, in December, March, June, and September. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says the December 1 soybean stocks number implied a record large residual use of soybeans during the first quarter, September through November period of the 2014-15 marketing year.
Some folks explain part of the large residual use with the observation that more soybeans were in transport on December 1 than in previous years. That is the explanation that was apparently favored by the market, as March 2015 soybean futures closed 36 cents lower on the day of the surprisingly small estimate. Another possible explanation for the large residual use of soybeans during the first quarter of the year is that the 2014 crop has been overestimated.
This argument might be supported by the higher-than-expected soybean prices this year, given the estimated size of the surplus projected to be generated by the large 2014 crop. In addition, basis levels have been really generally strong for most of the year. Basis is the difference between the price of a futures contract in Chicago and the local cash bid. USDA's March 1, 2015 estimate of soybean stocks may add some clarity to this debate, writes Darrell Good in his weekly outlook posted on the Farm Doc Daily website. Expectations for the magnitude of the March 1 stocks are based on the estimate of the December 1 stocks, imports during the quarter, and estimates of soybean consumption during the quarter.
If the size of the 2014 crop has been accurately estimated, the March 1 stocks estimate should imply a large negative seed and residual use of soybeans during the second quarter of the marketing year. That certainly was the case in previous years when residual use was large during the first quarter. A reasonable expectation this year might be about a negative 90 million bushels. a March 1 stocks estimate near 1.41 billion bushels would be consistent with the estimated size of the 2014 crop and known use of soybeans through February 2015.
Given this, if the USDA's grain stocks report shows something substantially different than 1.41 billion bushels on hand, then it should renew the debate over the size of last fall's soybean harvest. Such a debate, however, would not be resolved for another 6 months. The USDA's estimate of the crop size, that's frequently revised, but not until the release of the September 1 stocks estimate. It comes out on September the 30th this year. Goods has historically implied seed and residual use of soybeans during the first half of the marketing year has not been a particularly good predictor of the size or direction of any subsequent change in the estimated size of the crop. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Ben Pruce is on the line from the Andersons facility out of Everly, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Ben. How are you today?
Hey, afternoon, Todd. Doing great.
Well, I was looking at some of the prices from the Andersons across the Midwest. One of the things I made note is that you all lost 2 cents on your bid today. Why was that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there was a very welcome board rally here this week. The end users were kind of sticking their necks out, looking for some coverage. The soggy board hasn't afforded them much ownership here in April, May. And the board popped up, and we moved a pile of corn. We have moved our bid back as well. Generally speaking, bids have faded about 5 cents here coming into the last half of the week.
Yeah, so from east to west, and I'll give the folks a good idea about this, we talked to your Climbers facility, which is in Logansport, Indiana, on Wednesday, the Andersons here in Champaign County on Monday, and you guys in Everly, Iowa on Friday. And the difference between the two is that Climbers is, what did I just tell you? I think it's two over. Yeah, two over. Here we're 7 under and you're 16 under. Is that correct?
Yes, we are posted at 16 under. Our other facilities here north of Iowa were 18 under. We have a feed mill here in Everly that we're posting a little premium.
Why the flow from the east to the west?
Honestly, it's just demand and supply wise, I mean, it's we just have a pile of corn in our neck of the woods, and I've made mention earlier several times now. We are pulling, our neck of the woods is pulling a lot of corn out of southeast South Dakota, southwest Minnesota. It's coming down to our ethanol plants, and quite honestly, it's keeping our basis fairly soggy. So we're having to reposition ourselves accordingly. So that's why we look so out of whack or so cheap.
Why is it coming to you instead of going to, does it normally not come to you? Where does it normally go?
Typically a lot of it gets railed out, and they just, they're just seeing a lack of performance.
Is it still left over from the rail problems of last year and just having a lot around? Is that right?
Well, I think so, but more importantly, I think a lot of it is due to they just had excellent yields. They do a good job growing corn up there, and they just can't seem to get rid of it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruce of the Andersons back in 2 minutes. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. While you're there, be sure to look out for our calendar of events.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Spanish Paella Day. The rice dish evidently originated in Spain in the mid-19th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1860, M.L. Byrne patented a new and improved corkscrew. Byrne claimed the design would provide greater strength and durability and that it could be manufactured at less cost than prior construction methods using a spiral twist of steel wire that gradually tapered from the handle to the point.
In 1849, Joseph Couch received the first U.S. patent for a steam-powered percussion rock drill. In 1884, the first long-distance telephone call was made between Boston and New York City. Branch managers of the American Bell Telephone Company in Boston called their counterparts in New York City. Although they reported the call was perfectly clear, maintaining clarity on long-distance phone calls proved problematic until the early 1900s. In 1923, Sir James Dewar died. He invented the Dewar flask. The double-walled vacuum flask was commercialized in 1904 by a German company, which named the new product a thermos. And in 2001, China reported its population at 1.26 billion people. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the Opening Market Report to the Closing Market Report and everything in between. Posted not long after it airs on our radio stations. In fact, you can listen live as well at WILLAG.org. There you'll also find our Will Ag calendar. The only event left for the winter meeting season is next Tuesday. That's report day. The grain stocks and acreage figures will be released at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And that evening, we'll be in Sherman, Illinois, to go through those with Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzlo at the Farm Credit Illinois building, 1200 Old Tipton School Road, right next to the rail golf course in Sherman. Peoria Road, Route 66, you may know it as a whole bunch of places it's easy to get to in Sherman, Illinois, the Farm Credit Illinois building. The door is open for registration at 5:30, and you can still come even if you haven't signed up. Dinner is at 6 o'clock and then 6:30. Jackie and Mike and I will take the stage, and we'll answer all of your questions about the USDA reports and what's next for corn, soybeans, wheat, and all the rest of the commodities you're interested in. Please do visit our website and find all the details at willag.org. Look for the calendar. Now up next, your weekend weather forecast with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
Despite some warm days, March is shaping up to be about 2 degrees below average. Precipitation varies widely across the state. The southern third of the state has received 4 to 8 inches of precipitation, and that's rain with the water content of any snow, while central Illinois has received 2 to 4 inches, and northern Illinois has received less than 2 inches. The Water Survey's climate network shows that soil moisture is close to saturation from 2 to 20 inches deep. I saw several places in the last week with water standing on the lower ends of fields. The 2-inch soil temperatures have been matching the air temperatures closely. Daytime highs are in the 40s and 50s while dropping close to freezing in northern Illinois and in the 30s and 40s elsewhere at night. According to the National Weather Service, temperatures will start to warm as we move into April. Highs on Saturday will be in the 30s and 40s. Sunday morning could be the coldest morning of the week with lows in the 20s across the state. Highs on Sunday will be in the 40s and 50s. Monday morning lows will range from the 30s in northern Illinois to about 40 in southern Illinois. Monday's highs will be in the 50s and 60s. There is a chance of rain on Sunday and Monday. For the rest of the week, highs will be in the 60s and maybe even the 70s, while lows will be in the 30s and 40s. A major system is moving through the region on Wednesday and Thursday, bringing with it a chance of rain. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
And thanks, Jim. That's Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. You, of course, are listening to agricultural programming from willag.org and Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.